In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are coming to the close of the church year, if not the actual calendar year just yet. And as we get closer and closer to Advent, our readings take on a different character. And today, the theme is definitely the resurrection. And it's appropriate that in our gospel reading from Luke, we're at a point in the story where Jesus is getting very near the end of his earthly ministry. Very soon after this, he is going into Jerusalem to be arrested and tried and convicted, and wrongly executed, and then raised from the dead. So I would imagine that resurrection is really on his mind as the Sadducees come up to him. We don't hear a lot about the Sadducees in Scripture. For the most part, Jesus wrangles with Pharisees. In first century Judaism, these were the two primary schools of thought, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And one of the distinguishing characteristics, although there are several, was the idea of the resurrection. Now, both groups certainly believed that existence persisted. They couldn't deny it, looking at the Old Testament with all the references to Sheol, the realm of the dead. So neither one denied that your existence continued somehow, but the Pharisees believed in a bodily resurrection, whereas the Sadducees did not. And they had little thought experiments like the one they present to Jesus to kind of bolster their opinion, their point of view. All right, now Jesus, think about it. Come on, really. Resurrection? I mean, what if you had a woman? Got married seven times, seven brothers, and they all died childless. And then she, probably out of relief, dies herself. Now, when they're raised from the dead, who's her husband? Smart guy. And Jesus, as Jesus does, although it never actually says, shakes his head, maybe does a face palm, and says, guys, you misunderstand not only the resurrection, but also the idea of marriage, and not to mention the idea of God himself. I mean, think about it, guys. In the resurrection, it's not like it is now. It is a different life. There's not marriage and giving in marriage. And before some of you panic, or some of you celebrate, depending, what he's saying is that marriage, as they understood it, didn't continue. And you have to remember, at this time and at this place and for centuries afterward, marriage was about property transfer. Who gives this woman to this man that we can transfer ownership here at the ceremony kind of thing? And what they were asking was, who owned her in the resurrection? Which of these seven guys, y'all put in their time, who gets the rights to her? And Jesus is saying that's not the way marriage works in the resurrection and really shouldn't work that way now. It's not a matter of who owns her. It's a matter of relationship. And so in the resurrection, we don't have ownership of people. We have relationships with people. And besides all that, you've got the totally wrong idea about the resurrection. You seem to think that you die, you go to Sheol, you hang out, it's just kind of there. But you're quoting Moses to me about this Levirate law. Didn't you read the story of the burning bush? When God introduces himself to Moses, he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. These guys have been dead for hundreds of years from our point of view. But to God, they are alive. Ours is the God of the living. He's not a God of the dead. And again, remember, in this time, in this place, they had deities who were the gods of the dead. Anubis or Hades or whomever else in your pantheon. They had certain deities who were in charge of dead people. And Jesus reminds them, that's not the kind of God that we worship. Our God is the God of life. When he sees his people, there's just the living, those who are alive in God. And it's an ancient thought. Our first reading is from Job today. And Job is probably the first part of the Bible actually written down. It's not set the farthest back in history, but it's some of the oldest writing we have in Scripture. And even there, Job is saying that I will see my Redeemer in the flesh. that when this body has gone away, I will stand before God and see not a stranger, but a friend. This thing is 3,000 years old, and we read it at funerals today as reassurance of God's love to us, that there is more than this existence, that there is resurrection, that death is not the end of the story for any of us. Certainly not for our Lord Jesus Christ, who overcame death and the grave, whom God raised from the dead. After humanity had done their absolute worst to Jesus, to try to shut him up, to get him out of the way, to push him off, to be able to ignore him, to make him dead and buried, God raised him from the dead. And even more miraculously, invites us to share in that resurrection. We are promised that we share in the eternal life of Christ. And so for us, death can no longer have any hold over us. We have no need to fear death. We don't have to look forward to it. I mean, granted, we'll miss things. Ice cream, I would imagine. I'm on a diet now. I already miss it. Our families, our friends, our children, our loved ones. Yes, well, we miss that. But we know that that is temporary. It is a temporary separation. Because we are resurrection people, because we do have the promise of Jesus Christ, that we share in eternal life with him. That the God we worship is a God of the living, not the God of the dead. That even those who've died and we see no more are still alive in Christ. And we will be with them. We're with them now, even if you can't see them. But we share in the communion of saints. We share in the life eternal. We are joint heirs with Christ of salvation. Children of God. And if that won't get you out of the bed in the morning, I don't know what will. It's a glorious, wonderful hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That death has been overcome. That we shall be raised like him. And live forever in communion with God and with each other. And while marriage may not look exactly the same thing, what it will be is the most perfect representation of marriage. Those of you who have excellent marriages, praise God and know that that continues. And if you've had bad experiences with marriage, either yourself or with other people or relatives, know that's not the way it is forever. That there is the ideal of communion and relationship between people. And that is what God promises us. The book of Revelation says that God himself will wipe away every tear. Every tear that's been shed over relationships and bad marriages and whatever else we've had to deal with. God himself wipes those away. And we live forever in joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.